Hi guys, I don't know, can you hear me? My name is Branislav and I will be talking about JavaScript frameworks. I will try to cover the reason why JavaScript is sort of bad and sucks in some parts of it. I will also try to cover the ways we were creating to fix those bad parts. But first, something about my company, the Circle Web Foundry. Hi guys, they're somewhere in the back. We are a small Serbian web shop. They told me not to create a web presentation without a cat, so meet Mika, the cat. And meet this guy. This is Douglas Crockford. This guy became famous not by JSON he co-invented, but by a series of fantastic JavaScript sessions he held for YUI blogs. And first session he made was actually about history of JavaScript, but it went more. It was like it started with Big Bang, beginning of time, dawn of the man, and something around 30 minutes later he started talking about first computers. So I won't be covering that much of history, but I have to cover some of it. 1993, this is Mosaic. It was not the first browser, but it was the first popular browser. It was developed by National Computers, something, yes, something, never, doesn't matter, at University of Illinois. And why is it important? Because it was the beginning of modern web browser. After some time, it was split into two projects. One of them is Netscape and another is Spyglass. So Netscape was a company which was actually continued Mosaic, and they had the idea that internet will become overwhelming, it will become everywhere and everything, and they had the idea that operating systems won't exist anymore, client machines won't exist anymore because, well, internet will be there to do all the job. And they decided they will be Microsoft killers. They will kill Microsoft, they will kill Windows. So Microsoft didn't like the idea, so they bought Spyglass and changed its name to Microsoft Internet Explorer. And the war began. And Netscape needed something new, something exciting for their next flagship version of their product, Netscape Navigator version 2. And they needed a way for interaction between web site or web presentation and humans. And they needed an easy to use programming language, something that was familiar to all the programmers who already worked. So, and they really, what they really wanted to do is to fix HTML specs to add some interactivity. So they hired this man. This is Brandon Eich. He had really tough assignment. He needed to create a brand new programming language for something that nobody else did. And he had really ridiculous deadline. So he needed to create a language in 10 days. So he did it. And he did a pretty good job considering the fact that, well, he worked 10 days. And now he's the CTO of Mozilla Corporation. What he did is he combined three languages, Java, Scheme, and Self. Scheme and Self are not that known, but they are excellent languages, and creators of other languages, like language designers, like to use them. Java, that's interesting fact. David Crockford said about Java that everything, JavaScript, that everything wrong in JavaScript is from Java. And considering the fact that the guy worked 10 days, I guess he was intoxicated with coffee, so he gave the name to new language Mocha. his bosses didn't like that, so they changed the name to LiveScript. And then because they used some Java parts, Sun wanted their name somehow incorporated in LiveScript's name, so JavaScript name was created. But under agreement between Netscape and Sun, only Netscape had the right to call the language JavaScript. And Microsoft liked the product, it was good language, so they wanted JavaScript for themselves, but they couldn't have it legally. So they reverse engineered the code and gave it a fresh, brand new name, JScript. So now we don't know what we have. We have a language which is not standardized, which doesn't have a name, or, you know, it's a problem. And Netscape wanted to standardize their product, but nobody wanted to do that. They tried W3C, they failed. Nobody really wanted to touch something which was, you know, proprietary Sun's. So they managed to find European Computer Manufacturer Association, which actually standardized the language, but they couldn't use Java name, so they used ECMAScript. So now we are actually using ECMAScript. And creator of the JavaScript, Brandon Eich, said that ECMAScript was actually a name for some skin disease or something like that. So now we have beautiful sites. They're interactive. Totally. More beautiful sites. This is Superior Court of California. And this thing is his famous marquee tag. So it was a chaos. People started writing JavaScript everywhere, and it was really ugly. So this is supposed to be a presentation of the worst website ever, LinkScars, but I cannot connect to internet. So I won't play it. It's ugly. We had this. So we had obtrusive JavaScript. Which actually mixed behavior provided by JavaScript with structure provided by tables, with content provided by some piece of HTML, and it was all a mess. So we had this big Puritan movement, which said, okay, let's make peace a little bit, so let's move structure to CSS. Let's create tableless layouts, yay. Let's invent XHTML 1.1, which was actually dialect of XML. And finally, let's kill JavaScript. It was too obtrusive, and it was OK. And people stopped using JavaScript, and everything was quiet until this guy. So out of blue at BarCamp New York City, John Resig released jQuery, library which had a really limited set of functionality. It only needed to manage DOM, nothing else. But we started using it for everything, which is bad. So now we have problems. We are using JavaScript for form manipulation, form validation at front end. We even tried to fix problems with CSS using some vertical centering scripts. We hack HTML, and that's something really ugly, and that's something we usually do with Drupal. So it bothers us to tamper with template PHP files, so okay, let's just hack it with JavaScript. Results are bloated code. We cannot reuse it actually because we will have only one file and nobody documents JavaScript. That's the documentation issues. We are using jQuery when we don't really have to. Finally, it's ugly. So why is jQuery not enough? It handles DOM, it handles events, it handles AJAX, which is cool. But DOM is slow. DOM is really slow, and it is really the most disturbing part of JavaScript. And let's try to put all the logic and business data into fast track of JavaScript, into ECMAScript. So MVC frameworks or JavaScript frameworks try to do that, try to move away from DOM, so we won't actually save data in DOM elements, hidden DOM elements or data attributes. We will be using ECMAScript and all the beautiful stuff it provides. And with these MVC frameworks, we will say goodbye to spaghetti code, but we will say hi to framework spaghetti. It's totally new kind of mess. There are a lot of MVC frameworks, all doing more or less the same thing. So most of them are incompatible each with other. So the real question is to decide whether or not to use frameworks and which framework to use. And the choice is really overwhelming. Backbone, Angular, Ember, Knockout, CanJS, I don't know what this is, Sammy, Kendo, XJS, really, it's a mess. So I really talked to Plan about code, about how to code this thing, and then I realized I cannot learn all these languages, it's useless. So I decided to go in another direction, in a direction of person who doesn't actually want to learn everything, who wants to learn something, some basis, and I want to try to decide which one is the best for my next Drupal project. Of course, first I looked at popularity, and turned out even though Backbone was older and, well, more stable product, turned out Angular was ready to adopt. So Angular, Backbone, Knockout, these three are our favorites. This slide is bad. I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about features of one MVC framework. First, I don't really know the difference between MVC, MVVM, MV something, and I don't really care. MVC frameworks are supposed to, MVC pattern is supposed to separate concerns. So we have models. Models are doing all the logic, all the data. We have views. Views are doing displays. Controllers don't do anything in JavaScript, as you will see. So that's it. What's out of this MVC logic is routing. And routing is really interesting. It allows us to do single page apps. So you will decide which part of logic will call which route, and everything is connected to URL hash, and it works okay. Observables. As you have events in DOM objects in JavaScript, somebody decided to put events on actual data. So when data was changed, something will happen, and that's observable data. And all MVC frameworks have that. But newer, non-backbone MVC frameworks went farther and said, okay, let's change all the views automatically when you change data. For Backbone, you need to create an event on change on a certain piece of data and then update your views. So it's boilerplate code and, well, some people are just lazy to create it. And we have two-way bindings, which are really interesting. So you have a view and you have a model. So if you change a model, view will be changed. But if you create a select element, something like that, in the view or input element, two-way bindings allow you to change model when somebody changes the view. So it's really interesting. And there are several ways to do it. Some of them are called dirty, some of them not, but okay. Most of the new frameworks have that, Backbone doesn't. But you can develop it, of course. So what's Backbone? Beckman was the first project and most popular MVC framework. It has dependencies to underscore JS, which is really interesting library, and jQuery. It is incredibly minimalistic. All it has is models, views, collections, which are actually collections of array or arrays of models or data, events, and the router. And you don't really need router for Drupal, but you have it if you need it. That's it. Everything else is your responsibility. If you want to develop something, you have to develop it. Main advantages, as mentioned in literature, are it is lightweight, it doesn't have unnecessary functionality, it has decent community and ecosystem behind it, so you will find a lot of module for it. And they can actually make it usable, so it's cool. It is purely object-oriented. It allows limited extensions of your default classes. And you can actually attach its classes to some other objects. So in this case, above, in the project Drupal Backbone, developer actually attached the entire Backbone library or framework to Drupal objects you already have. So the module Backbone for Drupal is nice, but it has one flaw. This big warning on Drupal.org project page. And it says, please don't use me. So, but then again, you're free to use Backbone with this project, or you can create your own module for it, or you can even use it in your team and just use it to ping REST servers in Drupal. Now this is interesting. So Backbone is in Drupal 8. It is in the core, and there was a lot of this thread was actually enormous, and it was a lot of flame in it. And well, people actually wanted some more modern frameworks in there, but I believe Backbone JS was needed for Spark project, so Backbone is in the core. Some prominent members of community wanted the Knockout JS or Angular JS in the core, so I will talk about them a little bit. Angular. Angular was developed by Google. It is front-end community just loves it. It is new, it is fancy, it does fantastic stuff. This is actually the first code you can get when you're starting Angular tutorials. And it's fantastic because if you see line 9, input creates a model and attaches it to itself. So this one line actually created two-way binding. Every time you change a model, input field will be changed. Every time you change the input field, model will change. It doesn't actually need a templating engine. Now that's interesting. Backbone has, it doesn't have its own templating engine. It uses underscore templating engine, but you can attach it to everything. Angular doesn't have templating engine. It is actually embedded in HTML. So line 11, hello, your name. Your name will automatically be updated when you change input. So it looks easy to use. Is it easy? Nope. It is extremely difficult to use. So first thing you see is, oh, awesome, this is easy. Next, you'll figure out that it is not that easy. And this is like, it goes from excitement to a nightmare. And but people who actually ruled AngularJS say that it is the best framework out there. I don't know, I'm not at that stage, so I really don't know. as a conclusion of Angular story, there is a project AngularJS in Drupal. It works, it has some interesting examples, so who wants to try it, enjoy. So We have Backbone. Backbone is minimalistic, only 18 gates of code. We have Angular. Angular is huge. Backbone doesn't do anything. It's just basic MVC framework. Angular does everything. So it is. It even has some mutilated jQuery in it. So it's huge. Is there something in the middle? Knockout. Knockout is. So Knockout is really not considered a framework. Now that's when I read that, I asked myself, okay, what's the framework and what's the library? Knockout was supposed to be library. And the difference is framework actually calls your code. You're creating code. Framework picks it up and calls it when needed. And libraries are actually just standing there. You're developing your own code, and when you need a library, you will code piece of it. That's the difference. Knockout will handle your observables. It will handle view bindings, dependencies. It works nice with templating engines for JavaScript, and it has really fantastic tutorial. So give it a try. Tutorial is great, interactive. I love it. So these are some popular frameworks. And how do we connect these frameworks with Drupal, and can actually framework do a job for you? So let's start with Backbone. It is easy to start. It requires a couple of days to get to know its classes, and you can just put it in your code and start working, and it will be okay. It doesn't really require you to change your way of coding, just put it and work with it. It is well integrated with Drupal 7 with its own module, and it is part of Core and D8, so that's great. After some time you will have better code, and after even more time you have productivity. Your code will become modular. You will be able to use code from one project in another project, so it's worth of bothering to start. And when you add require.js, it will become totally awesome. Require.js actually handles files. So it will allow you to split your code, JavaScript code, into several files, and just use them when you need it. It does all the dependency management for you, which actually means that you have to decide what is your code dependent on. So if you are using jQuery in your code, you will add it to dependencies, and require.js will make sure that the entire jQuery library was read before you actually execute the code. And why is that different? Important? When you have like a megabyte or 2 megabytes of JavaScript on your project, you will be in a problem if you are waiting for all JavaScript to be loaded before you actually start using it. Require.js will handle that, and you will load only the code when you need in that particular time, and it is called asynchronous module definition. Then again, it will provide you productivity, and a lot of productivity. You'll be able to handle or maintain your library of files. Each file would be a class, so it looks like some PHP module, which is great. You can combine Backbone with Twig, and there is a fantastic Twig templating engine. Why is that important? Well, we have Drupal 8, it comes with Twig, so wouldn't it be nice to have Twig templates for front-end too? So let's make it really interesting. This is somehow an idea project. Imagine a Drupal project for auction site. You have a huge traffic, it's a new eBay. You have thousands of auctions happening in real time, so it is really important to have this real-time interaction. Each auction has like 100 participants. you need to handle all the bits. You have to make sure that all the front-end interfaces are synchronized. So you can do it with jQuery, but it is ridiculous. It would just be too heavy. Or you can, you know, create situation where everybody would like hit F5. So that's also ridiculous. So try to imagine a situation where you have Backbone, which handles all the data at the user side and just pings each 5 seconds or something like that, Drupal's REST API, which could be provided by services or views data source. So we are only requesting information about current auction. It will return that information to us. It won't load all the modules or do whatever it does. Backbone would then do its own magic. It would handle all the business logic in the front end, and it would just, yeah, Drupal communicates with SQL, MySQL. Yeah. So it will create all the logic and just push it to the DOM. Well, actually to jQuery or something like that. DOM would be changed and it would all be automatically. But then you have a problem, because if you are using Drupal's REST API, using services or views data source, you're bootstrapping entire Drupal, and Drupal is huge, Drupal is slow, and we don't like Drupal, right? So what if we put something else in the middle? I'm wearing MongoDB t-shirt. Let's put Node in the middle as intermediary ultra-fast layer. And that's really interesting, because when Backbone sends some information about, okay, I bid it, sends information to Node. It doesn't communicate with Drupal. It just communicates with Mongo. It records my bid. So everything happens in really ultra-fast lane. You will all get information about my bid from Node.js. Also, Drupal won't be bootstrapped. And then after the entire auction was done, we could run a cron job in Drupal, which would just synchronize database with Mongo and SQL, MySQL, and it would be really ultra fast. Now, this approach is a bit outside of comfort zone for a Drupal developer. It requires it requires a lot of work in Linux. It requires a lot of new technologies. But I was involved with Atari Arcade's project, which allowed you to play games arcades in front-end, and it was communicated with Node, Mongo, and then CronJob picked up data from Node, and it was really, really, really extreme speed up. And of course, you can change Backbone to something more modern if you want. That's relatively easy to use. So conclusion, we'll be all moving towards JavaScript and front-end frameworks. That's a fact. Backbone will help us get into this MVC world. So it is good entry into frameworks and MVC world for JavaScript. And so it was really a good decision to implement Backbone in Drupal 8 core, because, you know, if somebody else tried, they tried to implement Angular. Angular requires a month of work just to get to know it. Backbone is easy to use, and it will be good. And of course, productivity. I'll finish with Niels Bohr, who said, "Expert is a man who made all mistakes which can be made in a narrow field." So if you want to get out, try front-end MVC and start making mistakes. Thank you. Questions?
Okay, so I have a question, if no one does. So my question is, usually when you hear about these frameworks, they're used in the context of a single page app or so, something where the front end is completely separate from, say, the back end, which in this case Drupal would be just a back end. So is this how you mostly use it, or can you think of some other use cases?
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to concentrate that much on routing. routing allows you to create single page apps. So it's really great to do something like that and just communicate with Drupal with REST APIs. But that's reserved for huge projects. People usually don't do huge projects, but still we do small projects which don't necessarily require this huge single page app. And there is another problem with single page apps. Our clients generally want SEO, and the single page and app and SEO don't actually come hand in hand. So that's a problem. I created this scenario with this auction site, which actually is a single page app and communicates with Drupal REST. So that's normal scenario for these MVC frameworks, but in most cases, you could use it without actually using REST for communication, or it would still speed up your development without necessary extra coding, something like that.
My question is there, or at least in a Backbone or other framework, are there any implementation of HTML5 features like storage, video audio handling, and so on?
To be perfectly honest, like, I have no idea. Maybe there is some plugin. With default Backbone, you don't have something like that, but you can, of course, implement it. It's jQuery, or in JavaScript. Okay, so you can implement it in your own. I really don't know about these bigger frameworks. Maybe Angular has something like it. Backbone doesn't. Backbone is reserved only for this basic functionality.
Any more questions? Okay, so thanks very much, Branislav.